Hi, I'm John Gormley. Sound advice comes in many forms, and when you're looking for a connected guy whose approach to financial and retirement planning, investment management, and income creation is a lot like yours, careful, planned, and always taking the right factors into account, you should meet Scott Bjornson of Living Sky Financial with IA Private Wealth. His mission is to provide a range of dependable services to hardworking people like you.
Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. I'm Greg Morgan with Scott Bjornson, Senior Investment Advisor with Living Sky Financial, IA Private Wealth. Okay, we talked about now is the time to get into some basic financial planning in our first segment. Let's talk about the state of the markets. There are people concerned, Scott. What are you telling them?
We're in one of those states right now where we've seen fairly sideways markets throughout the last 12 months. And yet the interesting thing is, of course, is things were improving, you know, through this summer, and the markets have been kind of in that wait and see attitude. And, you know, as always, I mean, they're completely unpredictable in the short term and a lot of times driven by emotion. And I think since we've started to see some cracks in the system, I mean, people are getting extended. We're hearing more and more stories of people having trouble paying their bills. This is having concerns of potential for a recession or at least a slowdown in the economy. And that filters into the markets in the short term, and it starts to, you know, cause things to pull back. And in reality, I mean, for a long-term investor, this is going to be a very brief time. But of course, in the short term, people will have concerns about market declines, you know, and of course, you know, even September in the past year was one of the bigger declines we've seen in the market in the last 12 months. And that will, of course, reiterate on client statements, but it has come out for September. You know, October, obviously, the month is still unwritten. I mean, there's always a negative attitude about October, you know, going back to October of 87, you know, and then, you know, market crash back then. So, you know, it's sort of pervasive in people's memories, or the media makes it that way. I mean, they say, you know, oh, remember, well, of course, that was a long time ago, 36 years ago now. So, you know, it's hard to believe that time is going that fast. But no, I think as we go forward, the short term, as we've talked in the past, we've expected market volatility this fall. We've expected as sort of cracks show up in the system that markets are likely to be a little more volatile. They're likely going to, you know, have a little bit of a pullback. But what's interesting is last year when interest rates started rising on a rapid basis, markets pulled back fairly quickly. In reality, markets were forward-looking that something was going to give this year. And, you know, you'd have to assume that, you know, all investment analysts and advisors and institutional investors and things, you know, we've had our, you know, blindfold on and our earplugs in, you know, for a year and a half to what's going on. You know, they can sort of see it coming. And markets tend to forward look. Now, they forward looked into this happening potentially at this point in time. They'll also forward look on the way out of it. And I think that's what catches people off guard. And I've been doing this long enough that, you know, over 31 years that we've seen, you know, where clients are waiting for that, you know, to come out and say, okay, it's over. And then, of course, they're looking to invest. And we're going, you kind of missed it because the market sort of started recovering during that period. And it doesn't always happen, but it does happen a high percentage of the time. And it catches people off guard because, like, oh, okay, well, we kind of missed the bottom. Well, market timing, I'll be honest, it's pretty much impossible. So by the time people react, things are already down, you know, if they're trying to make moves. And by the time they sort of react in the other way, things are usually up. And, of course, everybody wants to invest when things are high-flying. So, I mean, it's good to have a plan. It's good to have a diversified portfolio. There should never be all parts of your portfolio down at once. You know, you should always have parts of your portfolio that are more defensive. And, of course, if that happens to be in a TFSA or in a non-registered investment account where you may need access to money, you know, sooner than later, you cannot have everything in higher variable or riskier investments. You always have to have, you know, a plan and be balanced in your portfolio.
Scott Bjornson, yeah. My guest, and I got to ask you, what is a good investment then right now, given the market you just explained?
Anything that's quality. That's an easy one. And, you know, quality. I mean, you know, whether it be investing in Canada, the U.S., I mean, we're still comfortable with both markets. You know, large businesses over time, you know, are obviously going to do well. So from a dividend-producing standpoint, I like, you know, many of the dividend stocks and things like that. And a lot of times during periods like this, those good quality companies that are paying strong dividends go on sale. You know, and it's not necessarily means that you're going to hit the bottom of it because, again, timing's impossible. But it's never a bad time to add to them if they're worth less today than they were, you know, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months ago, because those are the types of businesses that aren't going away. You know, whether we're talking about the chartered banks or railways or certain utilities and things like that, is generally it's very rare where we see a failure in those types of industries. The other side of it is we still have good bond opportunities. You know, interest rates a little higher for longer. If we don't see interest rates start to decline for another year to year and a quarter, again, unpredictable, but the bond market is telling us right now, sort of pricing in, that we're going to see interest rates stay a little higher for longer. So we're getting better yields on bonds at this point in time. So that's strangely attractive. And then alternatively, for the guaranteed investor, as we've talked in the past, GICs. When was the last time we saw 5.5% GICs? Been a long time.
Yeah.
So for the guaranteed investor, these are a huge opportunity for looking at even longer term, which are a little lower than that rate, because longer term GIC rates, we're in an inverse rate curve right now. What that means is that, you know, 5-year rates are paying less than 1-year rates, because we do expect over the next 1 to 2 years interest rates to start to pull back a little bit. But I think, as I mentioned sort of in the first segment, you know, we expect interest rates to be a little higher for the next 10 years. I mean, you know, not the 3.25% potentially, you know, average mortgage rate, but maybe we're looking at 3.75 to 4.25, and that's still not terrible. You know, for those of us who've, you know, been around a little longer, I mean, you know, who've experienced over 10% interest rates and things like that, those who've been around longer than us, who maybe have experienced 21% interest rates in 1981, four and a quarter is still looking pretty good.
Certainly is.
But I think we're more leveraged today. You know, the average business is harmed. We're in a restrictive territory with the bank rate. Businesses are harmed. They're paying more for their borrowing. They're much more leveraged today than they were 30, 40 years ago. Individuals are much more leveraged today than they were 30, 40 years ago. So they're paying more for cost of debt. So when we're in restrictive territory for interest rates, and again, that goes back to what we discussed in the first segment, is costs of borrowing are going up, and it makes costs higher for everybody. And often that gets passed on from businesses to consumers as well, which doesn't help us, you know, with cost of living.
Well, as you specified, that interest rates are not likely to quell too much this year, maybe another good year here. But I just want to also mention there's the first home savings account. You can make your money work for you. And that is something, if you're still wanting to get in the housing market, a good opportunity that Scott can explain to you too. But in our last couple moments, Scott, here we are. It's fall, so some basic financial planning is our prime message. What do you want to tell us to do?
Number one is see a qualified financial planner. See somebody who's actually willing to prepare, you know, a written plan for you. Sit down with somebody, and I mean, there's a lot of great financial planners out there, but make sure that you're actually getting a plan that is addressing your concerns. You know, is it your debt long term, but is it, you know, also a lot of times, of course, it's retirement. Kids are getting older. We got to pay for this at some point. It's getting so expensive for university. You got to have a plan. I mean, ultimately, you need to know where you're going. And, you know, in having a plan, we know it's going to need adjusting. Everybody's life changes, employment changes, you know, your personal situation can change. But having a plan gives you a starting point, and then make changes to it as you need to. And the key is to have a team or a group of people to work with long term, which is what we've been doing, is working with our clients to make sure we stay up to date and on track with that.
Too often I hear, well, I'm just going to sell my house. That's my retirement plan. It's never enough. And there's a lot more
finance. Saskatchewan. I mean, you know, like, we're not Vancouver or Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, and I think downsizing is a bit of a myth. You know, in some cases it does work, because, I mean, people literally really can downsize, because sometimes people are using their houses for their business and maybe they need less space, or their kids have all moved out and, you know, they don't need to have that large space. But costs of property, whether you're in a bungalow or you move into a condo, are very similar. You need to live somewhere. Rents are higher. You have to, again, plan for it.
Certainly do. Scott Bjornson, I'm out of time. I've enjoyed our time together. Senior investment advisor with Living Sky Financial, IA Private Wealth. Anywhere I should go to check out more information?
Go to our website, livingskyfinancial.ca. And I have offices in both Saskatoon and Regina. As a team, a total of 8 of us that work with our clients between the two cities. And I work out of Regina literally, you know, 30% to 40% of my time. So I'm down there to see my clients and to discuss with them. So we're in person. We like in face-to-face meetings to work with people. We want to get the education, and a lot of times that takes more than just a phone call. You got to sit down and plan and take some time. I always tell people, plan to take 2 or 3 meetings, invest that 2 to 3 hours minimum to start before you even make any decisions, and, you know, we'll help educate, and then we move forward from there if you want to work with us.
Scott Bjornson, I thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
You've been listening to Talk to the Experts. I'm Greg Morgan.